Excellency, fiddlesticks.
Welcome back to hell. Back from the edge where we found you. Back in
hey, 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 welcome back. That's right. Welcome back is in order. We're back. Back after a little hiatus. It's been a while since we did a show. Threw a little vacation in there. Took some time off, but getting ready to go back and do the show now. Ready to get back into this. Let's get it started. Got a lot of things to cover. It's been a while, like I said, so a lot of stories have piled up. A lot of things I want to talk about. That, of course, is the Trash Can Sinatras. You may not have heard of them. Welcome Back. Got that song for free, actually, somewhere. I don't know. Thought it was pretty cool. First order of business today, obviously. Welcome back to society, Casey Anthony. Hey, wasn't following this trial too closely, but apparently, you know, when the verdict came down last week, the internet kind of exploded. Mostly angry females. Pretty much everybody across the board was angry. Nobody was really pleased with the result of the trial, but if you looked at Facebook right after that shit came down, it was just an explosion of female anger that the likes of which you haven't seen too much, and pretty much convinced if any person, specifically some of these women, were able to get their hands on Casey Anthony, they would probably have just destroyed her on sight. I mean, this is, you talk about public enemy number one. And you piss off a bunch of moms like this, the wrath of a mom is a wrath you don't want to see. I mean, they'll just tear you down. And it's I'm literally today all day waiting for a breaking news item that someone was going to take this woman out. I mean, I figured that whenever she was going to be released and whatever door she came out of at the prison, you know, that we're going to hear a story that some snipers took her down or a mob of angry people just stormed the prison where she was and on her way out the door just beat the hell out of her and beat her to a bloody pulp and killed her. It would not have surprised me at all to hear that story today. I guess as of right now, it's about 10:30 at night. I haven't heard anything like that, so I guess it hasn't happened yet. She would do wise to lay low. And by lay low, I mean maybe have some surgery done to change your appearance and get the hell out of Dodge, get out of this country, because it's not going to be good for her. I can't even compare it to OJ after he got off, because I don't think there was this level of anger. I mean, people were pissed off and disappointed, but this was just vitriol coming out of people for Casey Anthony. I mean, I think if she is seen in public, people are just going to... There was a story the other day that somebody who had the same name as Casey Anthony was getting shit from people just by having the same name. So I can't imagine if someone went to the real one, what they're going to do to her. So I wish I could say good luck to her, but I can't wish her good luck. I think she's... there could be some karma, some retribution here that's likely. And hey, you know, you reap what you sow, baby. Anyway, moving on. There's been so many weird stories since the last podcast, and I know this one that I did see that came out, which it was reported in June. I think everybody's probably heard this by now, but let's just go because I haven't really had a chance to comment on it. And we'll just get started here because it's, yeah, it's a good one. Now, police in Boulder, Colorado were searching on Tuesday for a man who, get this, hid inside the tank of a portable toilet at a yoga festival, startling a woman who was using the facility. If you read the rest of the article, you're not sure if this guy was doing it for a place to hide. I think if that's the place you choose to hide, there must be some other places you must have missed. Maybe, you know, he saw Schindler's List and saw when the kids were hiding in the latrine there. Thought to himself, hey, that's pretty hot. That's a cool thing to do. Gross. Or the other end of that coin, if a coin had ends, actually it has sides, but the other side of that coin is he's doing this for some sort of thrill. Here's what I don't understand about that. If it's 2011, okay, the internet has been around for a while now, Everybody has it. Even, you know, families that have very little seem to have found a way to get on the internet. I mean, you can get internet anywhere. And one of the beauties of the internet, one of the blessings of it and also a curse, is that you can pretty much find anything you want on it. So in the areas of, and the perverts usually get to these things first. They you know, they took over the internet quickly. But no matter what your alleged perversion is, no matter what the thing that is that gets you going like nothing else does, and you think maybe you're the only person in the world who has this particular enjoyment, this particular like, pretty good chance you get on the internet, and in a few mouse clicks, a few searches, a few Googles, you'll find not only a buckload of websites devoted to this thing, but a whole number of people who probably share your same sick, twisted joy. A community, if you will. And you could find like-minded people and share with them the depths of your particular, I don't even want to call it particular, I'm going to call it perversion, whatever gets you off. This is the thing. You can find other people to share it with, and you can find websites to do it. And you could do all these things from the pleasure of your own home. I guess that's not enough for everybody. This guy said, that's great, but you know what? It's not getting it done anymore. And now I need to get out there and be in it. Because he could probably Google. This is not even that bizarre. I can't believe I'm saying this. You could probably Google, and I'm not going to Google this because I don't want it showing up on my internet history, and someday whenever they impound my machine and confiscate it and start searching, and, oh, there he was searching for toilet cams. You know, but you could search for toilet cams, and I guarantee you'd find a shitload of hits about it. Pardon the pun. You'd find a lot of hits for that. So this is not even something that's totally, completely wacky as far as unique. But apparently just Googling toilet cams and getting some bird's eye views, if you will, of people pooping and pissing at a high close-up level, he wanted to go right to the source. Boy, did he. But has he ever been in a porta-potty? Even if you want to get to the next level, you could set up your own webcam and stick it in there. Right? What are the odds of that being traced back to you? Probably none. This guy said, screw this, I'm going as far as I can go. Getting inside, if you've been in a porta-potty, I mean, even, you know, it's on the if you had to rank every toilet you've ever seen in your life from most disgusting to most clean, porta potties would be at the most disgusting side. They are just hideous. It's a necessary evil. It's pretty much the last resort. And I can't imagine, you know, you only use them when you have to. Right? You're not going to seek them out. But if you're stuck someplace like this outdoor yoga festival in Colorado, and you have to use it, you have to use it. Even the best porta potties have this, whatever this blue chemical is that they use to kill every single disgusting bacteria that would develop in there. That's got to be incredibly toxic. He's in that shit, amongst the shit and amongst the urine. He's in that blue chemical. He's in there, so we can look up and see that. And not to mention this poor woman, the woman who she was not identified according to the article, but she lifted the lid and she noticed something moving, according to the police. Now, what's the first thing you think of? Well, maybe it's an alligator, maybe it's some sort of animal. At least she wasn't sitting down yet. She got the hell out of there, found a guy and said, hey, can you look in there because something's not right. And the man looked in, told the police he saw someone inside the tank covered with a tarp. Security guy came over. They waited a few minutes to see if this guy would come out, and this barefoot, shirtless man emerged. They tried to detain him, but he ran away covered in feces. How hard would you think they tried to detain him? Because do you want to be the guy who catches him? Do you want to catch a guy who's head to toe covered in shit? And you have to try to, A, tackle him. He's got to be a slippery little booger at this point. And hold him down, meaning all that stuff is going to get on you. They said, eyewitnesses said he was wearing dark gray sweatpants, how they could tell, I'm not sure, and had several cuts on his legs and back. So now he's just, this stuff's going to get into your wounds, it's going to be gross. He was described as very tall, which makes it even more strange that he was able to fit in this thing. 20 years old, with short brown hair. Well, yeah, the hair's brown now, but maybe it's not brown normally. Witness told police he believed the man was a transient who goes by the name of Sky. Whatever. Sky, whatever. I think this guy was trying to get himself into some sexy situations. But this poor woman, I mean, I think for her now it's got to be ruined forever. Porta-potties are certainly gone forever. I don't think she could ever venture into another one. It's bad enough that a woman has to use a porta-potty. They're not, they have to perfect the squat and hover sort of method. But now she's going to go to every place she ever goes. She's going to think there's something down there moving around. I just hope it doesn't wreck every toilet in the world for this poor lady. But we wish her well. And we hope they find this. And, you know, they may have even found him. I'm looking at an article from the 21st of June. Maybe they found him by now. Who knows? But really, dude, just, you know, buy a webcam or get Google. There's other ways around this. What else is going on? Here's one I found that I think there's just a lesson is you shouldn't piss off your IT people. If you're not an IT person, they do tend to wield a lot of power over you at work. If you've ever seen that sketch on SNL with Jimmy Fallon, he was the computer guy. He treated everybody who didn't know anything as if they were just total idiots. To that level, no, but you want to... Be on their good side is always a good thing. Having worked in IT, I can tell you it was always nice to have people who treated you well and appreciated what you did for them. It's human nature. You're going to want to help them better. But this company, this poor guy. This guy was fired at a situation. He was unceremoniously removed from his position with a company I'm not going to mention, and he decided a bit of retribution was in order. Now, the first thing you need to do, if you're going to can a guy who's got any type of power, any type of authority on you, especially on your IT systems, you have to do the thing where you escort him out, and then you have to go start changing everything that he had his hands on, changing passwords, anything. Just it should be standard procedure. Obviously, if they didn't do that here, we wouldn't be talking about him. Powell, the man who was removed, put his IT knowledge to work. He quickly installed keyloggers on his former coworker systems and harvested credentials that would be later put to use. So basically, he starts gathering passwords. And this guy, going beyond a simple thing of maybe causing a little bit of mischief and screwing with his company's data, he did, which is probably, according to the article, it stuff of dark, dastardly admin fantasies. This is the stuff that he was probably dreaming about. He went in 30 days in a row, accessed their systems over 100 times, picked up information he needed, and he waited and waited until the day that the person who canned him was doing a PowerPoint presentation to the board of directors. And then it was showtime. He took control of the system. This is the guy, Powell. He made it reboot, which you're thinking, oh, computer glitch, as you're going in as a presentation in front of the board of directors, which is bad enough. Then it gets better, because after the reboot, a full-screen pornographic image showed up on the boardroom 64-inch television. Jackpot. Gotcha. It's safe to assume various expressions of shock and disgust were uttered, and a multitude of power cords tugged with great force. Yeah. Investigators say these attacks led to about $80,000 in expenses for the agency. This is a crime, obviously, and they know that Powell was the guy who did it. And he was sentenced to only 100 hours of community service and 3 years probation. That's not really a lot for what he did and for what he could have done. He could have done a lot worse than that. But for those of you who have those fantasies, those take this job and shove it type fantasies, this was a story I think that people really appreciated. But he did cause him some embarrassment. But, you know, come on, grow the fuck up, dude. And good luck getting hired again, by the way, now that you've done something this fun and screwed up everybody else. Good luck. I heard this one. I missed this story, but apparently my wife told me about it, and she's like, "How did you not hear about this?" It happened just before 4th of July weekend, and I'm just going to go right into it because I can't even conceive this story. But a preliminary event. This is in Fall River, Massachusetts, and it starts that a preliminary investigation shows, quote, murky and cloudy water, unquote, in a public swimming pool, helped conceal the body of a drowned woman for 2 days. Well, people swam there. What the fuck? How do you not know? How are you in a swimming pool? First of all, if this person is swimming, and she goes under the water and she doesn't come back up, nobody notices this. I thought, at least for a short time, that a body would float. Still nobody notices this? What are they thinking? Oh, she's just floating along here, face down in the pool, nothing to see here. Eventually, the lungs fill up, I guess the body sinks. And even then you think, well, it's a pool, right? It's not like it's a swamp, it's a freaking pool. But the water's murky and cloudy. Who's swimming in this water that it's murky and cloudy? That's disgusting, first of all. But there's a body in the pool, and nobody notices it? What the hell? I don't get it. The district attorney's office said the body of this woman was submerged at the bottom of the 12-foot deep end of the pool from Sunday afternoon until Tuesday evening. Oh, my God. She was a housekeeper, this poor lady. She's from Haiti. So not to bring race into it, but if she's Haitian, she's very dark-colored skin, which would think would be even easier to see her in the pool despite the murkiness of the water. Nobody sees this. Her body was discovered after it floated to the surface, finally, shortly before some youngsters sneaked into the pool for a clandestine swim at Tuesday night. So this was even off hours. Imagine these kids. You're sneaking into a pool. You're sneaking into a little public pool for a little mischief, a little innocent little late-night swim. And up pops a body. Is that a horror? That's a horror movie in training, isn't it? Can you imagine these kids, how freaked out they are? Oh, my God. You're fooling around in the middle of the night. Maybe you're drinking or whatever, and you get to this pool, and then this dead body floats up. That's nightmare fuel for the next 20 years for these little bastards. The medical examiner's office determined the manner of her death to be accidental. Okay, yeah. And the cause to be asphyxiation by drowning. Just terrible. I mean, the probe said the water was murky from the time the pool opened for the season last Saturday. Visibility tests conducted reveal a diver couldn't be seen at a depth of 3.5 to 4 feet below the surface of the water. First of all, clean the goddamn pool. And after a body was in it, you better drain the thing and scrub the hell out of it. But clean it so that you should be able to see your toes if you're standing in the pool. That's first thing. Just the fact that, in case there's any, what else is down there? You know, what else is floating around the bottom of that pool that people don't want to know about? I mean, if this body can go 2 days without being found. Again, just like the lady in the porta potty, this has to ruin swimming for many people. I would never go back to this place. Anytime you touched anything in the water anywhere, I'm thinking it's a corpse, and maybe she's going to grab my leg and pull me under. It's the boogeyman all over again. But how does this happen? How the hell do you? Does a person drown in the pool and nobody know that she's A, drowning, and B, floating, and then C, kicking around the bottom? It's disgusting. And they've closed all the other pools. Great. That'll fix it. That'll fix your problem. Fix the goddamn problem you have here before you go into the other ones. Wow. Oh, boy. I can't even fathom next time I go swimming in any type of pool, I'm going to be, you know, meticulously putting on a mask and scanning the bottom of that pool for anything that looks out of the ordinary. Speaking of pools, and I meant to say this at the beginning of the show, when I was on vacation, I spent some time out in Long Island because of where my daughter's going to be attending school. And we're out there a few days. We saw some cool things, you know, and there's some interesting things to see at Long Island, but there are parts of Long Island which have, you want to still call them yuppies? Do people still use that word? I don't even know. You just want to say there's some young, rich people there. There's a lot of money in parts of Long Island, especially because there's a lot of shoreline, so there's a lot of money out there. And we spent time in little amusement park areas, things like that. And one of the things we see, which drove me nuts, was tons of little, young, obviously pretty well-off families, and their little crotch fruit running around. And the little kids who clearly were never told the word no in their lives. You had kids, these kids were running around on say like you're on a bumper boat thing. What do? You teach your kid to wait your turn, and when it's your turn, you get in your boat, and you don't fuck with the people who are running the ride, right? Because I know back in the day, if you messed with the people who were running the ride, that was a quick ticket out of there, if not from the park itself, but from whoever you were there with, your parents or whomever, going to say, you know, cut it out, cut the crap, and give you a smack in the head and take you out of there. These two little monsters are not only in their boats, squirting the lady, the girl, not even a lady, it's a young lady who had the patience of a saint here because she was not throwing stuff at these kids. They're squirting her with the water guns, and then they're in the boats and they're climbing out of the boats, which is a clear violation of everything they post on here, but things you're not supposed to do, these kids are doing. And nobody's telling them, hey, cut the shit, Junior. The mother's like, oh, okay, whatever, you know, this, you shouldn't do that, Bob, you know, whatever. I know that if I'm not that old, but if I was a kid doing that, I think it would have been a quick ticket out of there, would have been dragged by the ear. You're done, son. I don't care how much money we paid to get in here. You're out of here. You know, you don't do this shit. And they're running around between the rides, and they're doing everything they're not supposed to do, and nobody's stopping them. Drives me nuts. Do me a favor, yupsters, whatever the hell you call yourselves these days. You know, if you don't tell your kid no now, and but believe me, I am in no way Father of the Year. Okay, I'm never going to win any awards for Father of the Year. But I do know that I'm going to make damn sure that when in a situation like that, my kid isn't going to pull the kind of shit these kids were pulling. You know, tell them no once in a while. You're not there to be their best friend. You're there to be their parent and get them out of that situation. And the place has rules for a reason. And if one of those, because if one of those little bastards ran over something they wasn't supposed to be on and he got hurt, you'd be the first one in line to file a lawsuit against the freaking amusement park. So that pisses me off. But I'm going to close with this one, and I warn you that this podcast does have the rating of explicit because I occasionally interject some, you know, adult language, let's say, throw in an F-bomb or two. There's a blog called Letters of Note, which is a pretty interesting site that I've come across. They have this document that is dated turn of the century, 1897, turn of the last century, and it was sent to all Major League Baseball teams, allegedly. Now there's some question as to if this thing is legitimate or not. People are talking maybe it's not, maybe it's real, maybe not. I'm going to go on the fact that it's real because it's too much fun not to be real. It was allegedly issued to all Major League Baseball teams in 1898, I should say, and there were only 12 teams then, to discuss the language that the players were using. Now, you think back to that time. First of all, you can't even imagine those people doing anything like swearing. I can't. I can't imagine them doing anything but saying, and they all talked like differently, I'm sure. The language was different. And they were just a different people. They didn't seem to smile very much. If you look at pictures, everybody's very serious. And with good reason. Times sucked back then. I mean, you know, kids are working in meatpacking plants and arms are going into the grinder and shit like that. It's probably not the greatest time to be alive. And the baseball players at the time were probably not, clearly not the multimillionaires you see today. They were probably, you know, maybe there were some guys in there who were unsavory characters. I don't know. They weren't these elite of society, that's for sure. So it stands to reason that they were probably going to be using some bad language. But they titled the thing, the document, Special Instructions to Players, and they couldn't even mail it out back then because of the document was so filled with expletives, and it was called obscene. It was unmailable. They had to deliver it by hand, and they did. It's fascinating. Basically, I'm just going to paraphrase the first part where there was a game going on, and the stands were crowded, and a man was in a seat near the bench, and he was talking to one of the players, because you could do that. And he asked one of the visiting players who was going to pitch, and the player ignored him. He asked him again, and the guy's sitting there with his wife. And when he was within hearing distance, the player finally turned around and says, oh, go fuck yourself, which I can't imagine a guy in 1898 saying that, especially in the voice I just used. He would be something, I tell you to go fuck yourself, young man, you know, something like that. I couldn't even imagine how to do it. But at that time, the people were taken aback. They couldn't believe it. Ladies were present, he told them. How dare you talk like this? Good. You know, back then, the biggest insult you could probably, I thought, at least in my mind, the biggest insult people could say was, I said good day to you, sir. And that would be the insult. Good day. To cut the conversation short and everything. But the guy in the crowd who was told to go fuck himself said, hey, there's ladies here. And the player said he didn't give a damn and that they had no business being there anyhow. Well, okay, that makes more sense for 1898 than the go fuck yourself. But it goes on to more because apparently this was becoming so widespread that they felt the need to not only issue this memo to the players, but they had to provide some examples of things people had heard. And if you say them in the language of the way we talk today, it doesn't sound, well, it still sounds weird because of the way they structured the sentences. But it just warning, if you have any kids listening, you might want to shut this off for a few minutes, because I'm going to read these as they exist. And I'm going to take it from the paragraph before. It says, in response to nearly 100 communications addressed to umpires, managers, and club officials soliciting definite, positive, and personal knowledge of obscene and indecent language upon the ball field, the committee received a deluge of information that was so appalling as to be almost beyond belief, showing conclusively and beyond contradiction there was an urgent need for legislative action on the part of the league. Now get ready, because the next paragraph, this is way before George Carlin, this is way before Lenny Bruce. It goes on. That such brutal language as, quote, you cock-sucking son of a bitch, you prick-eating bastard, you cunt-lapping dog, kiss my ass, you son of a bitch. Here's my favorite. A dog must have fucked your mother when she made you. Wow. Or even better, I fucked your mother, your sister, your wife. I'll make you suck my ass. And finally, a classic, you cocksucker. The fact that these are delivered by old-timey guys with little square hats and handlebar mustaches, that's the way, and they wouldn't just yell the name out like, hey, screw you, or eat shit. They have full sentences, and like, a dog must have fucked your mother when she made you. Clearly, the biggest insult you could give somebody, that I did your mother, your sister, and your wife. How about that? Oh, you bastard. I wonder if this started large-scale fights on the field. It's just hysterical to hear guys talk like this, to think that back in the old days they did talk like this, where you think now that society is degraded so much that this language is so pervasive and everybody's using it and it's a horrible thing. I've been doing it for years. It's not going to change, and it's funny. It's still funny. It's fascinating. And I'm going to go out on that note, because I could just make more swears, but I'm not going to do that. It was fun, and I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll have some more hopefully soon. Like I said, I won't go 4 weeks between shows again, but I won't be doing vacations like that anytime soon again. But let's just run down the usual things. You can hit me on Twitter at Bish24. Bish24@gmail.com is the email. If you can hit me there, any comments you want, always appreciated. And find the stories on the blog. Obviously, you can go to iTunes to subscribe to the podcast if you dare, and leave a comment, because iTunes, like I said before, eats that stuff up. So take care. Talk to you soon. And hey, have a good week.